Let's quickly get into this evening's teaching because it's our last day. So I want to tell us to use as much as we can of the opportunity that we have to release the word of life into the hearts of the people of God. And I trust that everyone present this evening will be transformed by them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, quickly, if you have your Bibles, bring them out. If it's on a tab, bring out a tab. If it's on your phone, make sure your phone is on flight mode. Please do not let your phone ring while we are. Don't put it on silent. Make sure it's not receiving signals. You know, I keep emphasizing that. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Truly, I'm happy to see you this evening. I don't know. And again, I'm feeling very anointed. If I feel like preaching, somebody tell me preach. All right. All right, I have a title for this evening's meeting, and I call it the law of faith. The law of faith. I've been talking about different things. The first day, of course, our seminar is titled How to Change Your Life. And I explained at a point in time how curses work. And I needed to explain that mainly so as to let people understand that they are not bound to them. It is not as if it's something, because it's a very common mindset that people have. They think that, yes, there are problems in my life and there's nothing I can do about it because it's a curse. And I'm saying, number one, in Christ Jesus, every curse has been broken. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And then I said, number two, everything, every work you do in life, every thought process, which is actually the foundation for what you do, has something attached to it. It can be a curse, it can be a blessing. So sometimes people buy curses for themselves. I will give you an example of the life of Gehazi. That Elisha gave a prophecy concerning Gehazi and his descendants. And we said that descendants are not just those who are born of somebody. And in fact, if you are born of that person, if you don't do the work of that person, you are not a true descendant. That you are not a descendant of Abraham if you are not doing the work of Abraham. If you are not walking by faith, you are not a true descendant of Abraham. So if you can also be, in the same manner, a descendant of Gehazi, even though you never went near his physical generations. If you are doing the work of Gehazi, if you will go behind and twist something, especially against the Lord's anointed, and there are different ways, it doesn't have to be a preacher, so as to use somebody else's name to gain profit for yourself, then you are begging for the curse of Gehazi. And that curse is called the leprosy of Naaman. We say, what is the leprosy of Naaman? It is a bot that comes into every success you have in life. You're a victorious man, you're a general in the Syrian army, everything is going on well in your life, but he was a leper. So that bot that comes into somebody's life is part of, it's what you call the Naaman's leprosy, which is stuck to every descendant of Gehazi. For that reason, every Christian, and that's why we read from that book of Psalms, all right, the one we read yesterday as our main text, chapter 34, that David now said, come, you children, listen to me. Let me teach you the things that have blessings attached to them. That's what we are saying. That let me not, don't walk in a manner that has a curse attached. Let me teach you the things that have blessings attached. What that means is this. You can walk out of a curse even though they claim it's upon your family. But most importantly for us Christians, everything that we have done, God has wiped them away through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've been emphasizing. So we can walk away from it. So every failure in life right now for Christians can never be tied to that kind of hereditary curse. You have to look at your life now, not yesterday. You look at your life now because yesterday has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. Yesterday has been wiped away by the sacrifice on the cross. Now is what we are talking about. What are you doing with your life today? There are things you do, thought patterns, you understand, that determine what you do, and those things can bring forth a blessing or they may repel a blessing. So if you don't have a blessing in your life today, you look at your life. You don't look at the generations. The work of the previous generations, if you don't do the same works, you are free. You are free. You are free. Sometimes people in families, they learn things from their parents, all right? And people say the thing is genetic. It's not actually genetic. It's just a habit that people learn in a particular home. You grow up in a home where they don't have respect for elders. Your mother doesn't respect your father. Your father doesn't respect your grandfather. Nobody respects anybody. And you come into life and you are surprised that there's no favor for you. Do you understand my point? You work hard, yet you don't receive favor. Why will you receive favor? You came out of a background which Jesus tried to wipe away from you, but you refuse to unlearn the bad habits. It's those bad habits that keep on bringing curses into people's lives. You see that you go around, I can't talk to anybody, I mean, I know they fear anybody, and you think it's a a sign of boldness, when it's actually a sign of stupidity, it's a sign that you will not receive favor, all right? You don't know how to say thank you. You don't know how to bow before those who are older than you, who are senior to you, and you keep on saying that you raise your shoulder. Even though you're a Christian, you are doing things that are bringing forth curses into your life, and that's what we're talking about. So when you walk away from those things, that's why Peter said that we should apply diligence to everything, all right? Add to your faith, you know, virtue. You must use diligence to bring right things into your life. So David said in that Psalm 34, he said, come you children, listen to me, and I will do what? I will teach you the fear of God. In essence, I will teach you the things that bring forth blessings into the lives of people. People especially that God has blessed. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So this thing about how do you change your life, if you're in a particular situation right now, there is a reason why you are there. It is not because of an ancestral curse. Because as a Christian, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. If those blessings are not manifesting, it is because there is a hindrance. It is because there is a hindrance. It is because there is a hindrance. If you go and read the book of Isaiah chapter 40, it said it like this, bring down the mountains, elevate the valleys, make a smooth pathway for the Lord in the wilderness, and then automatically the glory of God will be revealed. If the glory of God is not being revealed, it is because you have not yet made that smooth pathway for the Lord in the wilderness. It is not because you are cursed. It is not because there is a hereditary problem. It is because now, today, you have not made a smooth way for the Lord in the wilderness. That's what I'm emphasizing all of these things. Are you getting my point? That is a problem with a lot of people, you know, Africans. They keep on thinking it's because you're a black man. You know, I was talking with Israel the other day. You know, I was reading the story of Booker T. Washington. In case you don't know about Booker T. Washington, just go and Google it up after. I don't have time to discuss that. But some of these black history figures in the United States of America. And when I read the story of Booker T. Washington, I told Israel, I said, listen, the black people in America blame the white people for every bad thing. True of us? True. They do that a lot. They're always doing that. The black, currently, there's another story I read today now of a black man, young man, that was shot as he was entering his apartment building by a white police officer. Story don't start again. That is the third one over the last few weeks, you understand? And they keep on magnifying these things, magnifying all of those things. And I looked at it, I said, Israel, look at this. Booker T. Washington, just to say something briefly about him, was a man, he was not into activism. He believed that the way you can bring the black man out of the situation he's in is to educate him. Do you understand? Because no matter how much a white man wants to respect him, you will not have much respect for a man that's stupid. Do you understand what I'm saying? You talk to him, he can't hold a good conversation. You can't give him a high-ranking job. So Booker T. Washington said, no, activism is good. Fighting for equal rights is okay. But he didn't believe in that. He believed that his own plan was a long-term plan. That is, over the next few generations, let us build a black race intellectually. Let us build them economically. Let us teach them how to do business. Let them become strong in finances. Then you can start talking about equal rights. That was his own approach. Now, this is what interested me about it, which was what I was discussing with Israel. I said, I noticed that all that he's working about, all the efforts were funded by white people. That's what I'm going to. That is, we talk about the white people, the black people talk about them as if the only thing they ever did is bad. And I read, I said, but for goodness sake, you understand? These white people, it's not only bad things they do. They were the ones that funded the efforts of Booker T. Washington. They will give him money to try and establish schools. I said, why do we only remember the bad ones and forget the good people? But listen, it's a problem of human beings. We are always looking for who to blame. And I dare say to you, the reason why the black man in America may be down, maybe, I don't know whether it's down or not, is not because of the white people. It is not. It is because of whatever it is they are right now. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You can never put your problems of somebody else outside there. Your problems are a consequence of what you are right now. You may have a history behind you, I know. But your problems are a consequence of what you are right now. And you must acknowledge that. Once you are pointing fingers at people, you are not yet ready for freedom. Let me say it again. Once you are pointing fingers at people, you are not yet ready for freedom. No matter how right you think you are, as long as you are still looking out there, this is the cause of my problem. There are still people who still Christians, my God, may you never say that again. There are those who still look back and still think the problem in their lives is because of a curse somebody placed over their family generations ago. And this is why I said it before, I said it one more time. You are looking for trouble. If you go to the village to dig up anything that was buried, if you acknowledge the fact that something was buried against you and is the reason why you are not doing well today, you are saying that Jesus did not die effectively for you, number one, or you are confessing that you are still a sinner. Nobody who is looking for deliverance from a tree in the village has believed. If you have believed, you are walking in sin. And number one sin is total ignorance. All those deliverances, they are organized for you every time to go to the village, all right? A band of jobless people who are looking for your money will be fasting on your behalf. You live in Lagos. You live in Abuja. You live in Enugu. You live in Port Harcourt. They go to your village somewhere deep in the Amokwe there. You understand my point? To go and pray against a tree that you claim is afflicting you. It is because you are a sinner. And one of the major sins I'm talking about today is the sin of ignorance. Either you have not believed or they are just taking advantage of you. Listen to me. All those people that do those things, number one, most of them know they are lying. It's business. It's money. A few think they are doing what is right, but they are totally ignorant. The truth is that your deliverance, you never saw anybody that Jesus said, go to the village and go and uproot his umbilical cord. There are churches that talk that nonsense. I said in the presence of God and your hearing today, it is nonsense. Where they buried your umbilical cord is of no consequence. If a dog ate a piece of it, gave the rat to his rat, the rat his neighbor, and left a bit for the cat that ate the rat, are you getting my point? And all the animal kingdom shared your umbilical cord, it means nothing. Do you think we are doing fetishism here? You think, you know, anyway, the problem is a lot of those people are babalawos that wore suit. Yes, DBS that bought suit. That is what the problem is. These guys are DBS that bought suits. That is why they come to church and be telling you, where's the umbilical cord buried? I don't care who the person is, and I don't care the testimony he's giving. It's a liar. A Christian can never be bound by the position of the umbilical cord. If your mother ate your placenta, it was poverty. She has been forgiven. You hear what I said? If your mother ate your placenta, now poverty. Let's forgive her. Sometimes it's ignorance. Nobody can sell your destiny because of the position of umbilical cord. If any man or any woman be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. All umbilical cords have passed away. All placentas have passed away. Behold, the fellow has become new. I'll be hearing what I'm saying. Don't let anybody make merchandise of your souls. Are you getting my point? Use that money you will have given deliverance minister to go and buy a book. In fact, let me recommend one of my books for you again. It is titled, By Faith, Acquire Life. Part of what's inside that book is what I'm going to teach this evening. By Faith, Acquire Life. Do not let, listen to me, any confused prophet make a merchandise of your soul. The money you will have used to pay for deliverance and support those who will fast on your behalf so that they can break their fast. Use that money, enter a bookshop, buy books, go to my website, buy data and download messages. They are free. Download books. There are many ministers who their materials are free on the web. Go there, collect those materials and read and get liberty for your soul. I like to always define who a false prophet is. Before I go on with my main message today, let me do it again. A false prophet. Now, before I tell you who it is, I'm not going to mention any name, so don't worry. There are two types of false prophets. There are two types. There is a prophet that is false. He knows it. He is false. He's in this thing for business. One of our brothers came around today. He has gone back to Port Harcourt. He said when he got to Port Harcourt, he said there are churches in which they bury babies for power. They bury fowl, goats, all those kind of things. He even told me one I found unbelievable. Now, such people are available. They call them, they are false prophets. They know they are false. They know. Even that Baba, I mentioned his name in Lagos. He knows he's false. If those of you are following him that don't realize he knows he's false, he will never tell me he's a true prophet because he knows I know he's false. He knows those who know that he's false. That's one group of false prophets. They know they are false. This is business. I have to prescribe therapy. I have to sell you a bottle of holy water for 5,000 naira. My photograph is not free. If I autograph it to put into your room, you understand? You pay money for it. It's business. I got to build a house. Come on. You know, just now, as I was driving down, two of my children were with me. We passed one nice, this kind of, like a concept car, one of these funny cars Americans drive. We passed on the road. So I told my children, I said, hey, look at that car. The smaller one said, wow, that's a baby I got to have. I had a very good laugh. He said, how much is it? The little guy is 7 years old. Tell him the car is a baby he has to have. So sometimes when the prophet realizes a baby he's got to have, you understand my point? Where's the money going to come from? It's from the Mughals in the society looking for deliverance. That's where the baby will come from. You understand my point? So there's one group of false prophets. And unfortunately, Christians still flock there. Number two group of false prophets, they don't know better. They are as confused as the person looking for deliverance. He needs serious deliverance from ignorance. In fact, Apostle was telling me earlier that one man went to church, he was in a conference. You are going to laugh when I tell you this. He went for a conference. A school, kind of. And ministers were there. So one guy beside him, a preacher, maybe I would say a pastor in the church, his phone rang. The man picked the phone. And this man said he was surprised to hear the man say, tell him, there, look, I'm not feeling well. I did hospital. And the man, church where they are doing Christian seminar, like this. So he looked at the man and like, what? So the man looked at him and said, you were now you day here. Because he knew what was going through this man's mind. He said, my friend, all of us are sick. All of us here. Suddenly I realized what the man was saying. That listen, I am sick. I have come for healing. It was in a place where the word of God was being taught. So he said, tell them I'm sick. I'm in hospital. Quench your phone. Don't disturb me. I've come for deliverance. This was somebody who realized he needed deliverance from ignorance. So as far as he was concerned, his ignorance was a disease. So this, to him, is a healing school. So when someone was disturbing, he said, tell him, I am sick. I'm undergoing transfusion currently. The word of God is being transfused into my system. Many false prophets are sick in that area. They need deliverance from ignorance. That's the second one. And many of those second types, please take my message to them. They are confused. And this is who a false prophet is. Now, you see, there are two types of fallacy now. You understand? A prophet can be false two ways. One, he can be false because he knows he's false. It's just business. Secondly, he can be false because he doesn't know better. He's ignorant. He learned the tricks of the trade. He doesn't realize that's not how things are supposed to be. That is the second type of false prophet. You are getting what I'm going to explain there. All right? Now, this is what happens to false prophets. This is how you know them. Anybody who points a finger at another human being in trying to diagnose the source of your problems is false. I don't care how genuine he looks. The best allowance I'm ready to make is to say that prophecy is false. The man himself is not false. I know some of you are surprised to hear that. Because you are used to many great ministers who every time are pointing at uncles and aunties. Yet they never are able to get deliverance for anybody. A man comes and tells you, there are people that don't like you. You should be nice. If he's younger than you, you understand? Tell him, don't be stupid. You, does everybody like you? How come you don't have my problem? If he's older than you, just say, excuse me, sir. With all due respect, I mean no disrespect, I can't accept that. He said, there are people that don't like me. Is there anybody that everybody likes? When Barack Obama was coming to office, he was the most popular American president. Right now, he's the least popular they have ever seen. Somebody doesn't like you, so what? There are people that don't like me, yet I don't have your problem. Do you understand my point? There are people, all right, that don't like other people and they don't have my problem. So you cannot say because somebody doesn't like me, that's why I'm having issues. Oh man, when Satan, you know, I told the Satan, the power he has is to tempt people. When Satan wanted to tempt him back into poverty, my wife knows what I'm talking about. He started insulting his bosses and his seniors. He said they are jealous of his success. That they have already said it in their church. That there will be people that will be jealous of their success. So you need to go to church to know that human beings will be jealous of your success. It's a normal part of life. If you buy a new shirt, somebody is angry. In fact, the man who wanted to buy it before you bought it is angry. He's hoping it will tear. Are you getting my point? But God, knowing people like us, we gather one day. You know what he said? Let me give you a scripture to solve all of that. I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That is, the fact that you don't have a table is not because you have enemies. It's because it has not been prepared. Enemies don't stop the preparation of your table. When God wants to pour a blessing upon you, he's not afraid of enemies. And like I say all the time, you don't need all of them to die. Because if every one of your enemies die, there will be no fulfillment of that psalm. How will God fulfill the prophecy when he says that I have to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies? Why not? They're all dead. What am I going to say? Let no prophet try to emphasize to you that the source of your troubles is somebody else. Even when you see physical trouble, and you see that this my boss does not like me, and he has jumped me over in promotion 3 times now, I'm saying to you again this evening, that is not the source of your troubles. Your boss does not like you, and God was not able to override him to promote you, means you are not due for promotion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your boss does not like you, and God could not transfer him and have him replaced so you could be promoted, means you are not yet due. That is a matter of fact. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about people. My emphasis again is look inwards. Make sure you learn what is right to do. Nobody can stop your progress when God is ready for you. God will jump over them. God will. He will. So if he hasn't, you have to settle down and say, what is my problem here? What is my problem here? What am I not doing right? That's the problem. When you have this accusing, finger out, that it's not my fault, it is theirs, you will be on the same spot for a long time. That's what I want to emphasize. If you keep on thinking it is not my fault, it is them. Even though, take an example now. You know all this persecution of Christians in the north and all of that? Yes, we can point at Islamists for being the one who want to fight Christianity. But I keep on telling myself that our God is not sleeping. No. He's not weak. Oh. Why is it that it looks like his hands are shortened that he cannot deliver? We should ask ourselves. I will leave that one there. We should ask ourselves. But my message for you today is, listen, don't ever look outside. Look inside. How to change your life. Your life will not wait for somebody to die before it changes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your life has to change even while your enemies are alive. And it's a false prophet whose God is powerless that thinks that he has to identify for you who your enemy is before you can make progress. I give you a direct commandment today. Stop going to the places where they identify your enemies for you. Read through the scriptures. You understand? You will not find the apostles do that. You won't find Jesus Christ do that. When he wants to deliver people, he doesn't care who put them in bondage. Who's seen that this one should be born blind? Say, what does it matter? As long as I walk the walk of him that sent while it is day, the man will see. Do you get my point? Go and read the scriptures. Now, this is the second thing I was saying about a false prophet. A false prophet is a person who points at your accusing finger at your enemies and does not make a demand of your own righteousness. Once I was with somebody, a businesswoman, he said, have you heard? they have found a witch that's worrying my business. If it's now, it won't be so nice. So those days I was more, I was not, of course, I was much younger than this. I'm telling you something that happened close to 20 years ago. So if you look at, I'm not an old man yet. So subtract 20 years for whatever my age might be right now. You say I was much younger. You understand what I'm saying? So I didn't have the boldness I have right now. Experience gives you boldness. If I had, I would have said, Madam, the prophet didn't see that you're a liar. The prophet did not notice that you are dishonest. He's so blind. All he can see is the witch. And let me say something to you quickly. Most lying prophets, no, did I say most? I would almost. Many lying prophets actually see visions. Do you know that? They see real visions. They are not lying in the vision that they saw. The vision is just a lie. Again, let's go down deeper further into it. There are two types of lying prophets. There are those that don't see anything at all. They just close their eyes and they pray. Father, your son has come with all these troubles. You, Jehovah, man of war, you will deliver him. Deliver him. God, pray for your own son by yourself. I don't even know what to pray. You may find it funny, but that's actually how some of them pray. They say, Lord, pray for your son. They will be praying to God to pray for you. I'm telling you, they do that. And after a while, you came for a vision. He has to see one for you. And he starts doing diagnosis. Do you have a grandmother? You start wondering, did my parents jump down from the sky? He said, Prophet, I had four. Two are dead. That's four grandparents. Two are dead. Which one is alive? Says my grandmother. Ah. She doesn't want you to do well. And you're like, how can she not want me to do well? I send her money every month. Ah. She doesn't think the money is enough. That's the problem. You have been giving her too much money. But she doesn't think it's enough. She wants your downfall. She's a witch. Just by the way, this is one of the ways by which Satan kills people. That woman is the only person who has been praying for you because you're a wicked soul. In the market, you've cheated people. They've said God will punish you. They've said it. You sold them one cheap Chinese phone that broke down after 6 days. And they don't want cash again you all over the corner. The only person who still prays for you is that old woman you send money to. Satan said, time to break this young man's back. So it does that, you start sending him her money. So she starts praying for you. That's one kind of false prophet. I'm not emphasizing. That's one type. He didn't see any vision. He's lying. He now tells you, of course, how do you do it? You will go on the 7 days fast and 14 days prayer. You know, say, but I have to go to work. So you know what he tells you? Well, if you can't fast, we can reduce the fast to 2 days. I have some men here who will fast for you. Am I lying? They do it. So instead of fasting for 7 days, what you do is that you pay 2,000 naira for each of the days. You fast for 2 days, the men here will do 5 days for you. I heard of one young man, this Enugu, that was his profession. Some of you wake up in the morning, you go to the market to go and buy and sell. Some of you go to civil service work to go and work. Some of you go to, you know, you go to your to school to go and read. He goes out to go and fast. And people pay him to fast. And he actually used to fast. You know how I know? Because one day he died. All the people's problems he has been begging for came upon him. And then he died. This really happened though. Well, I'm not giving it as a joke. He died. So the prophet does that. You pay him 10,000 naira. You think it's not much money. He has 18 clients like you. 180K one day. Who would they make 180K for one day will not prosper? You go buy a motor. He's been using your money to build a house. He's selling ignorance. That's one group of false prophets. There's another group. This one, as they close their eyes, they see a vision. They look at you, they tell you, last time you went to the village, your grandmother was sitting on a stool. Your father made that stool for her when her back was paining her like 6 years ago. Say, it is true. The day she got that stool, she sat on it and said, the children of this man who made this stool will never go forward again in life. And of course, because you are a sinner and you are a stupid person, you believe it. You will refuse to go and learn the word of God. You have never heard of familiar spirits. So any prophet that prophesies anything, once it looks like true, you accept it. Because he saw a vision. And it is because you are afraid yourself. And I'm telling you, the reason why you are afraid is because you're a sinner. The prophet saw that vision, does not make it true. I do not have time now. I would have gone through the scriptures to let you know that lying spirits see visions. You know the story of Ahab. When God said, who will entice Ahab that he might go to Ramoth Gilead and die there? A lying spirit said, I will. He said, how will you do it? I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. So a spirit came. When God said, go forth and succeed, a spirit came down, entered into the mouth of those prophets, and they began to prophesy under inspiration. And everything they said was a lie. They said, you will go there. You will scatter them. You will scatter them. Holy Ghost fire will go with you. All that shaking was not a lie. A spirit possessed them. They went there. Holy Ghost fire did not scatter them. The fire of God scattered him. He died. The only prophet that had the truth in his mouth, who was able to prophesy the truth because of the presence of Jehoshaphat, said, I see Israel scattered abroad like sheep without shepherd. He said, put him in a prison until I come back from my battle victorious. He said, if you come back, I am not a man of God. The fact that the prophet saw a vision does not make him true. A lying prophet sees visions a lot of times. And only stupid Christians who will not agree to walk in righteousness follow them. A prophet that cannot say, my brother, this is what the word of God says about you. Confess your sins and repent of them. Believe the word of God. If you will not do that, you are the one begging to be deceived. If you can't focus on that. You are looking for visions, I guarantee you in life you will be deceived. Your life cannot change by going from one prayer house to the other. I said something before in Kingdom One we're preaching. Let me say to everybody here, anybody who goes from one prayer house to another, that person's life will be thoroughly confused all the time. I'm not praying a bad prayer for you. You know, that's your experience if you have been going there. Let me quickly say something just came to my mind. I should quickly drop it. You can go to 5 prayer houses and they prophesy the same thing. It doesn't make them right. You know how, why they were able to prophesy the same thing? I'll tell you. Because the same spirit was following you about. Once it gets to where you are, it jumps into their mouths and lies to you. He said, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. The truth shall make you free. It is not the truth of, I will soon know who is afflicting me. No, I will know the truth of what God said about me. Oh, this is the testimony. I like 2 stories I've told so many times, but I need to tell them one more time. Because they are so appropriate to explain these things. Derek Prince was praying for a woman that used to see visions because she was a medium. She had familiar spirits. She wanted to be delivered of that operation. And you see that in the Bible. Paul once delivered a young girl that had a familiar spirit. And as soon as he began to pray, the lady had a vision and said, I see you in a red car that crashed against a tree. I know, it's just, I see you in a car. I'm not sure it's red now. Let me not mix the stories. And then the Red Queen just answered her calmly, oh, that don't worry about it. That is the plan of the devil, and I don't walk in the plan of the devil. She saw a real vision. She saw it. I mean, she was giving her life to Christ and wanted to be delivered of the evil spirit that's following her. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he wasn't trying to lie to him. She actually saw a vision. And the recruiter said to her calmly, "That is the plan of the devil, and I don't walk in the plan of the devil. No prayer. No, let us remember about it. Nothing. That was just the end of it. I told you the story. I sat in my house, and a bat appeared out of nowhere. As far as I was concerned, this bat can be explained. One thing I'm sure of is that it's not a witch. I was in my room, my bedroom. Bedroom. And my wife was lying down on the bed with telling stories. One early evening, she just said, "Hey, see bat." I said, "Eh? Where is it?" And when I saw the bat, I said, she said, "It has entered the wardrobe." I'm not sure I saw the bat, but it entered the wardrobe, so I went and closed the wardrobe. Why? Because Bishop and his wife came to visit us, and they were downstairs. So I said, "I have visitors, so bat, wait here. When I finish my visitors, we'll discuss what you are looking for in my bedroom." It didn't cross my mind to use the African mentality that they have come. Who is they? By the time our visitors left, I told them we have a witch upstairs. When they were leaving, we went upstairs. I opened the door of the wardrobe, trapped it inside a closed basket, and gave it to my cousin. Say, "Please, go and throw the bat away. It missed its way." I told my wife, "You're very lucky to say they go MFM. You for pray today. You for pray. Your mouth for bend." Holy Ghost fire will have had to collect kerosene to increase the flame. The blood of Jesus will have to flow extra. And the children sleep. How can you sleep? You won't sleep. For what? When your enemies are not sleeping. Is that not what they tell us every day? All of you, you will pray. That's, we've killed the battle. It's around the corpse we will be praying. Waiting for it to change to the woman that she was originally. And after you have prayed the whole night, it doesn't change. You will still go to church next day and testify. Praise the Lord. Brethren, pray. Hey, my God is able to kill a bat. But calmly, what did we do? We tossed away the bat alive. Go your way. Much later, my children said that, they saw a lot of bats outside. Apparently, they were changing location. One of them meets his way and entered into our house. That's all that happened. Some people see black cats. They know they sleep again. As a bank, you don't believe in witches. Like I always say, I don't care about witches. It's not whether I believe in them or not. I know they exist. I've had enough testimonies to know such things exist. They do. I'm just saying that witches and I, we respect each other. They don't come to my house, I don't go to their house. They don't afflict me, I don't afflict them unless they cross a line, and I afflict them with the preaching of my gospel. We don't disturb each other. Their name is Satan. They have looked at the hedge of God around my life, and they have understood that it's a no-go area. So what if you have problems? I have had problems before. Problems are not a sign of a curse. It's only a sign you are alive and you are not yet dead. The day you stop having problems is the day they bury you. You join the ancestors like they say. You enter the grave, they cover it. Your corpse will not disturb anybody. Nobody will disturb your corpse. As long as you are alive, you will have troubles. That's why you are called an overcomer. There's no overcomer that does not overcome something. Are you getting my point? How can you be an overcomer if you are not overcoming? The sign that you are an overcomer is that you are overcoming. If you don't overcome something, you are not an overcomer. So the thing you are overcoming is a trouble, it's a problem. And like I always say, even Jesus had a problem. Not one, a few. By the time your anointing does not agree to flow, it's a problem. He went to his whole hometown. They did not believe in him. He could there do no mighty work. Doesn't mean witches have taken his power. Some people will go and say, there are witches in this congregation. They say, I won't preach today. It says their unbelief. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, every child of God is a victor. Are you getting my point? And the witches are not the cause of our troubles. Back to what I was saying about the false prophet. A true prophet never points to the person who is afflicting you. He only points to one thing, and that is the relationship between you and your God. I said my message today is titled what? The Law of Faith. And I must say, we must go into that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now I want to read a scripture which will help us . Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. The main thing I wish to achieve when I was praying about these whole meetings, the primary thing I want to achieve, the Holy Spirit helping me, is just one thing. To make the children of God love the knowledge of God. Did you hear what I said? Yes. I want you to love to know God. I want you to love to understand the word of God. I went into everything, Hebrews chapter 4. I went into everything I said, just to remove us from this mentality that we often have of pointing fingers outward as the cause of our problems, instead of looking inwards at what God is saying about our relationship with Him. The Bible says, if the ways of a man, please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Doesn't mean the enemies will convert and become his friends. They will just have to live at peace, in the interest of peace. Are you getting my point? That's it. He says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Anybody who's waiting for the witch to confess before he makes progress is a sinner. Are you getting my point? I want you to understand, God did not design for a witch to confess first before you can make progress. He never designed it. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let me start from Hebrews chapter 3. I just felt like reading from verse 12. Please open your Bibles to it or share with somebody. Take care, he said, brethren, that there not be in any one of you, this is talking to Christians now, an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they heard? Please notice that. Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Please, I'll save time and jump. Verse 18 says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Because of what? Say it loud, please. They were not able to enter because of unbelief. He now said that, therefore, the next verse, let us fear, if while the promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. He said, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. I want to note that. The word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Verse 3 says, For we who have believed enter that rest. Just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter. I'm jumping now verses, please. it now said that I want to go somewhere. Let's go down to verse 10. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works. That's chapter 4, verse 10. As God did from his. He now said, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall, he says, through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Please, I'm going to stop there. I needed to get to that verse 12, because it said, the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, there's another scripture I should quickly read, because it will help us. That's from the book of Romans. It just complements this. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Again, so as to save time, I'll jump here and there. It said from verse 6, the righteousness based on faith speaks as thus. Do not stay in your heart, who will ascend to heaven. That is to bring Christ off. Well, do not say that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss to bring him up. I'm jumping now, please. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. What is that? The word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses resulting in salvation. Now, please notice this. Verse 12 says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all, abounding in mercies for all who call on him. I'm jumping again. Verse 14 says, how then would they call on him who they have not believed? And how would they believe in whom they have not heard? Everybody say heard. And how would they hear without a preacher? Please, I want to modify that a bit to just bring out an issue. How would they hear without paying attention to a preacher? How would they preach unless they are sent? Then I'm jumping again. Verse 17 now says, however, they did not all hear the good news, for Isaiah says, who has believed our report? And that's in verse 17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. There's a reason why I read it like that, because that's actually what he said. There's a principle of hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Please, I have read this to bring out some interesting points. Because we don't have all the time, I have to say some things very fast. However, let me at this point again, please recommend that you just go out there and take, you know, try and get as many of our MP3 CDs as possible. They are very inexpensive. We did that deliberately. Most places, you have to buy MP3 CDs, you pay more. But here, what we try to do, just to make it as cheap as possible, ₦150 for one MP3 CD. And this is the interesting part. You are allowed to share it. I don't know what I hear what I said. That is, assuming you came with 5 of your friends, and all the titles you like are like 20. Do you follow what I'm saying? You just say, okay, you, buy 4. You, buy 4. Then when you get, as soon as you get home, just go to your computers, rip your own off. Do you follow my point? And then rip the other guy. Just copy them to your computers. And when you are through, say, we still have the CD. Say, nah, go sell them to somebody. Just go say, this CD, in fact, I'll give you a discount. It's 120. It sounds funny, right? But I'm hereby begging you, not only saying it's allowed, I'm begging you to do it. But peradventure, you don't want to sell it, you want to dash somebody, it is allowed. Did you hear what I said? Actually, on our website, you can download the messages free. The only reason why I'm just asking you to do that here now is because it's much cheaper for you. The cost of data for us in Nigeria today, we don't have Wi-Fi all over the place, so it's quite high. So, since we're in Enugu, that's why I'm encouraging that, all right? Please. There are not too many things we can say in these few hours that we have here over the last few days. That's why I'm encouraging you. And when you go, don't stop hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Are you getting my point? You have to continue to hear. It is important. Please bear that in mind. There are not too many things we can say in this short time. But like I said earlier, my emphasis, my prayer to God is that I'll be able to kindle the desire to go after the knowledge of God in the heart of everybody here. because my people actually perish for lack of knowledge. He said they do not know and they do not understand. Therefore, they walk on in darkness. What you don't know is what keeps you in bondage. One of the reasons why prophets can't prophesy anything that will excite me or annoy me or scare me is because I know more than they realize. You come to me and say you saw a vision. Like this man one day, he's a redeemed pastor. Pastor came with it there. A man came to him and said that he saw a vision. That only two people are going to heaven in the whole of Redeemed Christian Church of God. Redeemed Christian Church of God with all the hundreds of millions of followers worldwide. He said only two people are going to heaven. You know what this young man said to the man? Well, I am one. Who's the second person? Some people will go and say, hey, they went to hellfire. They dreamt. They'll be removing earring, confusion. Those people didn't go to any hellfire. They were lying. You know, there are things some people are afraid to tell you. I will tell you. God has never sent anybody to hell because they wore earrings. He doesn't do such things. You know, one thing that happened in heaven is that they don't smoke Indian hemp there. If you get there, you won't find cocaine. God is not confused. Jesus Christ is not mad. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He doesn't just wake up and say, eh, you put attachment on your hair. Hellfire. Go and read your scriptures. God has a list of the kind of people he puts in hellfire. He said the fearful, the unbelieving. Do you understand my point? How can you go to hell? You didn't see adultery there. You have seen the woman that plaited her hair. I hereby give you the liberty in Christ Jesus to go and plait your hair. Buy Brazilian, Japanese, or European hair if you have the money. The problem with that is they are expensive. So I keep on telling people, you have to live life according to your level. If you are going through a season in life where you don't have money, just go and join Deeper Life. Say, we know they use cosmetics for our church. It's a very simple life. You know, this life is wisdom. You go and be competing with people who have too much money to do their wedding. Just in our church, no, they say we can't use long gown. Abi, are you lying? But the reason that carried you there is poverty. When you prosper, you will come out. Say, all things are passed away. You know why we didn't do that? Ignorance is a terrible thing. Then when I met this man in his office, a man said he's a prophet. That God said to him that only two people are going to heaven, the whole of Redeemed Christian Church of God. The man just said, square. I am one. You and the rest, me and I go choose, play ballot on who will be the second person. Call the GO, say, in there on the competition list. Too, because me, I have already entered. No, you know what I'm saying of this thing? Many of these are the people running up and down. It doesn't bother me because they are not founded on the word of God. And it's only because I know that word of God. That's why I can say that. The story I used to like to illustrate, it happened recently. My phone rang early in the morning. One man told me, excuse me, sir, they said we should go and bathe with salt water and drink salt water because of Ebola. I was asleep. My sleep was in the third gear, you know, because I slept late. Actually, I slept very early. Then I woke up and was awake for a long time. So I went back to sleep very late. So that was around 6 a.m. I was still asleep. I didn't even know the gist. I just said, Ebola, salt water. I said, it's a lie. I didn't have to get up, pick my medical textbooks to check whether Ebola is sensitive to salt water or not. Without batting an eyelid, I just said to the fellow straight, it is a lie. Why? It is because of training. I know about viruses. I know how these hemorrhagic fevers are transmitted. I particularly know because of the epidemic at that time, I know what Ebola virus, how it spread. And I said, bathing with salt water is senseless. Otherwise, everybody in Lagos just enter ocean, come out. You get my point? You know what I'm saying? I knew that, so I told him flat, it's a lie, and I went back to sleep. By the time I woke up and went out that day, I found that half of Nigerians, the price of salt don't go up for market sale because men. But why was I not moved? It is because of knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your soul. Let me just put it like that. You can't afford to walk around this life ignorant. Many people have been taken captive because of ignorance. A man comes to your doorstep and imposes a fast on your household. Why? Because he calls himself a prophet. And you are fasting the fast. If a prophet gets to my door, knocks, go, hello, in this house, God says you should fast for 5 days and see and pray for 8 days. Otherwise, there will be trouble. I will say, okay, prophet, please come tomorrow morning. When he comes, I will serve him my breakfast, sit down, eat. Just to prove to you, I'm not planning to fast with you. You are afraid, you are confused, you want to impose your confusion and your fear upon my household. If you don't get away from here now, you will start fasting. out of disease, when you are sick, you know, go feed chop. One day, one of those prophets was walking on the road. It happened to somebody my friend knows. So my friend gave me the story when we were serving those days. And he got there. This is Eastern Nigeria. You know, maybe that's part of my issue. I grew up in the West. Some of these people are seen here for the first time. We were sleeping with those things when we were children. They don't walk on the road here. In the West, they walk on the road, ringing bell. They don't have them here. Maybe in the villages. Oh, come to that side. All of them wore white. They wore suits now. That's why they now, you know, don't laugh. When they finish in the West and the place is full, they run to the East because, you know, they, like all these traditional healers, you know, they always brag that we are Odudu children. They bring herbs from the hinterland, the Yoruba land. I want to come and confuse people in Enugu here. I didn't say don't buy you. I'm just telling you that they like to export because they know people there are already tired of them. They now run down to fresh area. Some of those prophets, that was what happened. So one of those was walking on the road. He was ringing. He stopped where a car was parked. Blood! Blood! I see blood! He did not know that the owner of the car was Holy Ghost filled. A true child of God who knows the word of God. That one came here. He came there. What did you see? That the man needs to pray and fast because he's seen blood. That one said, come. For your information, it is your blood you will soon find on this car. He grabbed the guy. Stay here. Let me tell you, I am a child of God. Do you understand? Any blood you see on this car, it is as the car is jamming you and killing you. So it can. Did he pray about it? Pray about what? If I'm going on the road and you see blood on my car, and you really see it, I'll tell you, look closer. How many of you have watched Lion King? Look closer. Are you looking? Look closer. Say after me, the blood of Jesus. Say, get away from here now before I show you your own blood. It will not, God is my witness, it won't scare me one bit. Why? Because I understand one simple principle, that my life is hid with Christ in God. That's all. Like I said to you, the reason why I'm talking like this, I want you also to go after the knowledge of the word of God. That is where freedom is. Nobody can pray you into freedom. You can only have knowledge into freedom. Are you getting what I'm going to say? It is what you know that brings you into freedom. It is not the prayer that is set for you. Don't let any... Oh God, that is so strong on my mind this evening. Don't let any prayer contractor turn you to a client. You hear what I said? Do not allow any prayer contractor turn you to a client. Please, that's just what I wanted to say there. I was explaining something earlier. That we're talking about the law of faith. Listen to what I want to say. I'm starting from here now. Everything that I've said so far was not my message for today. Now I'm starting my message for today. Please tell me, start. Don't worry, you still go home on time. All right? I'll try and finish on time. This is actually the message I brought for today. And I want you to pay attention. Look at me and don't shift your eyes. I start from here. Thousands of years ago, God fulfilled a promise that he made to mankind from the days of Adam. And what did he do? He sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to come and die for you and for me. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you why you have to believe in Jesus Christ. And in case you've believed already, which I believe most people here have, I only attract Christians when I go to preach, you understand? So I know most people here are believers. Let me just explain something to you about the Lord Jesus. Why you believe in him. What the importance of believing in him. There is a rule in the realm of the spirit. Let me start from this one. When man sinned, every sin must be paid for. Bear that in mind. Anytime God makes a will, that's another rule. One, every sin must be paid for. Another rule is this. Nothing is free in the realm of the spirit. Every blessing must be paid for. Air is not free. Nothing is free. None of God's blessings are free. Not one. All of them, somebody must pay for them. That is second rule. Bear that in mind. One, every sin must be atoned for. Number two, every blessing must be paid for. Are you getting my point? Number three, every will that is made, all right, must be. I want to use the word, must have a testator, if you use King James in the book of Hebrews. A testator is the covenant animal that is sacrificed, are you getting my point, to make the will of effect. Okay, I have another word for it. Every will must have a seal. Yeah, that's a better word in modern day law. Every will must have a seal. Now, this is what Jesus Christ is. Number one, he is the atonement sacrifice for all the sins of mankind. You hear what I said? Yes, that's what he is. Number two, he is the payment for all the blessings that God ever promised. That is number two. Just by the way, you don't buy God's blessings with your money. Bear that in mind. I'm stuck on that. Okay, let me quickly see number three. For any will to be of effect, the testator must die. And Jesus died to make every promise of God, every will that God made, of effect. One of the promises is that I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. We read that from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 towards the end. And Jesus died so that you and I can become sons and daughters of God. That is why we believe in Jesus Christ. It is not because we want to go to church. Let me say this to you quickly. Every religion is trying to reach out to God. Christ is God reaching out to man. Are you getting my point? If I can see everything and I'm looking for you, which one is better? If you are blind and you are looking for me, who would you rather go towards the other person? Would you rather me come to look for you or you come to look for me? A blind person would rather be on one spot and let the same person come and look for him. True or false? That's true. Jesus Christ is God coming down to look for us. The Bible says he came unto his own, not his own went to look for him. And his own did not receive him. Now as many as received him, so God comes to people in Jesus Christ. I want to bear that in mind, please. Very important. That is why you and I believe in Jesus Christ. You do not pay for his blessings with your money. There is one thing that goes around in Christianity today. Everywhere I'm given the opportunity, I always like to knock it down. I've done that over the last few days. I must say one more time. Your money is not the reason God is giving anything to you. I know in today's Christianity, we make it look as if we want a blessing from God, we must give something to him first. I say it again and again. It is totally not true. I do not care the caliber of people that have preached it. It is not true. The Bible says in this book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say the grace of Jesus. The Bible says he was rich, but for your sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. If that is not good enough, nothing is good enough. The reason God prospers you is simply because Jesus died for you. Please bear that in mind. Now, I went through all of this to let you understand this is the principle of life. Anything you will receive in life must be... Now, if you're a Christian here, say amen.
Amen.
Anything you will receive in life must be because of where you're focused. I should read this. It will help you understand what I'm saying. I keep on emphasizing to Christians, if God blesses you, he will be a generous giver. His ignorance... That is why Christians are not givers. If God gives you understanding, I need us to read these scriptures. Very, very important. Because of time, I may leave it. But it's in book of, the one I'm referring to is the book of Genesis, John chapter 3. Don't bother opening it because of time. John chapter 3 from verse 14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal, everlasting life, or eternal life. And I said in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but do what? Have everlasting life. Notice what he said. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him, that is the same way people believed in the serpent that was lifted up, so as to get their healing. Anybody that will be blessed now must look up to whom?
Jesus.
Must look up to whom?
Jesus.
Must look up to whom?
Jesus.
Say it loud, please.
Jesus.
I want to hear that name again.
Jesus.
I want to hear it one more time.
Jesus.
We must magnify that name. We must. We must. We must magnify that name. If you are going to be healed in the wilderness, that's in Numbers chapter 21. What happened was that people were beaten. They were afflicted. The serpent beat them because of their iniquities. And when they cried to God, and Moses cried to God on their behalf, God said, lift up a serpent, and whoever looks at that serpent will be healed. Please, I want you to read something here. If you have an Amplified Bible, if you don't bother opening to it. But if you have an Amplified Bible, open to the book of Numbers chapter 21. I need to read this. This is the meaning of the word believe. If you have never heard this before, please pay attention. The book of Numbers chapter 21 defines for us what it means to believe. Listen to me. Everything God has given you in Christ Jesus, except you activate it by faith, is not your portion. Remember, I started by saying something. Every promise, every will, everything, every blessing must be paid for. And Jesus paid for your blessing. If he paid for your blessing, say amen.
Amen.
God has already accepted full payment for your blessing. That's number one. Number two, we said that every covenant must have a testator. Every will. So that will, Jesus was the testator. He died to make it of every effect. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
What that simply means, and this happens a lot of times. Let us assume that your parents send you money. You're a student. You did not know because you lost your phone or your bank doesn't give you alert. And you don't go, so they sent you 25,000 naira. Your fees for the exam is 18,000. Are you getting my point? Your parents sent you 25 in time to pay for the exam, but you did not know. It's the morning of the exam, you do not know. Assuming nobody lent you the money, I want to ask you a question. Will you be let into the exam hall? Why? You haven't paid your fees. Does it mean your parents are wicked? No. They sent you the money, you did not know. This happens all the time. And the same thing happens in the realm of the spirit. If God gives you a blessing and you don't know about it, it does you no good. That's why he said, my people perish. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When they don't know, the thing that God has done for them does not bless them. The thing that worries most of us is ignorance. We don't know what Jesus did for us. There are those who are still looking for how to sow a seed for their future. Because they don't know that Jesus paid the price for their future. Now I want to say this to shock a lot of people. Get ready to be shocked. Apart from those who are used to hearing me, you'll be shocked. I want to say something boldly, and I'm not kidding about it. Using an average, just reasoning generally, I can say assuredly that at least 80% of the offerings Christians give today are not accepted by God. Not less than 80%. See that dutiful putting of money in church? Most of the time, God doesn't collect it. We pastors are happy. Any pastor that's not happy, you don't want to agree. They are happy. But you know, God in heaven doesn't receive most of them. The logical question in your mind is what? Why? Thank you. I'll tell you. God said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. That is, before I look at money, I check why it came. God said, I don't look on the outside. I look at what? The heart. So God doesn't look at the cash. I keep on telling Christians, money is never a seed. The seed is the word of God. If you know how things work, money is not a seed. Because every seed has its appropriate soil. The appropriate soil for money, cash as a seed, is not church. It is business. If you want to look at it like that. In church, money is a sign. What did I call it?
A sign.
It's what?
A sign.
It tells us what is happening in your heart. Do you get my point? Now, we told a joke earlier. As my children were coming down for this seminar, and we saw that funny American car. You see one of those very funny cars, very low, two tiny tires in front, two fat tires behind, you know, open roof, looking like something out of a spaceship. And my son, man, said, that's one baby I'd like to have, you know. I've been watching cartoon. That's the daily some of those talk. And I said, how much is it? 7-year-old asking how much it is. You know what I said to him? I said the price doesn't matter. Daddy can buy it. You know that's supposed to be final. That was the answer I gave him. I said, the price doesn't matter. When you need it, daddy will buy it. So the guy felt good. Am I sowing a seed into his life in case I bought something like that for him? No. The money is a sign of fatherhood. It's a sign of what? Love. If I buy my wife a beautiful necklace and say, it's Christmas, wear this. I'm not sowing a seed into her life. It's a sign of love. If my wife came to me and said, please, I would like a very nice gold ring, a necklace, so, because one I have is not good again. I want to buy one. I said, no, sorry, I can't buy. And then I go to my office, and one woman of my office said that my gold ring chain is getting tarnished. I need another one. And I take money and buy for that woman. What is that? You don't even know how to describe it. Iniquity. Kingston, God bless you. That is iniquity. You don't need a prophet to tell you this man's heart is not with his wife. Yeah. His heart is somewhere else. The Bible says you have committed adultery inside your heart already. Is the money the seed? No. It's a sign of where my heart is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why is it that God does not accept 80% minimum of the offerings Christians give today? I will tell you, it is because most of them are bribes. Most of them are seeds for what they are asking for. When God says simply, ask and you shall receive, and your joy will be full. God says something simply. He said, they have not because, he said, you have not because you ask not, not because you sow not. You say, what about seed? Money seed, the way we talk about it. Money and giving is a Christian habit. Any Christian who is not a cheerful giver is walking in iniquity. You cannot say you're a Christian and your money is not preaching the gospel. You're a Muslim. Yes. I mean, even the Islamic people, they put all this Boko Haram bombing. You think the money raised from the sky? One of the people, you know, Americans, when they want to fight this jihad, you understand? When they want to fight these Islamic militants, there are a number of people they go after to kill. One, they kill the low-level militants. The suicide bomber, kill him before he can kill somebody. The people who carry the gun, they kick those guys. That's one. The army commanders, the military commanders, they kill those ones. Number two they go after are the clerics who preach the anointing to kill yourself. Yeah, because when an Islamic cleric preaches his message to you, you strap a bomb. Those militants, those what they call radical clerics, they also go after those ones. If they see one guy is a seriously radical Islamic cleric, they will bomb his mosque. Because if you kill him, he can't recruit people with his words. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. I don't want to waste time. I'll prove to you now. I'll just do one or two things. You realize how powerful it is to be a preacher, even if you're an Islamic preacher. Listen to me. Words are very powerful. Number three, kinds of people that they go after are the financiers. If Americans find out you are sending money to jihadists, they will arrest you. If they find a Nigerian who is sending money to jihadists in Yemen, they will come to Nigeria and insist that the Nigerian government gives them that person. And if you refuse, no problem. You that they want, better go and hide. Because one day you'll be going on the road, you'll disappear. Sometimes you are going on the road, there will be an explosion, and there will be no corpse to bury. You have been vaporized. Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. In the same manner, if the gospel is going to move, is it the jihadists that will give money to the gospel? That's what I preach to Christians. That is why we Christians give to church. That's why. We're not trying to bribe God for anything. Jesus has already paid for everything. Are you getting my point? So our money is a sign of our faith. For that reason, every offering you have been given, which is a seed, died on planting. I need a car, therefore I give out a spare tire. No, it's not Christianity. I know we are preaching for a long time. It's now time for maturity. Let's grow up. If you want something, ask God for it sincerely in your heart, knowing that Jesus paid. What it means to pray in the name of Jesus is to pray believing that Jesus has paid. When you confess your sins, you are forgiven because Jesus paid. Forgiveness is not free. I hope you are going to say. Forgiveness is what? Not free. The only reason why you can be forgiven and you get away scot-free and you don't go to hellfire is because Jesus paid. The same premise upon which you are forgiven is the same premise upon which you are prospered. Every other thing you do is a sign of what? Faith. That's why I said, as of today, my conservative estimate is that 80% of the monies that Christians give, God doesn't understand. Some people come to give, oh, this is another one, to pay for their sins. The onion she will go into the market and steal and come to church on Sunday and share. He's a thief. He sells fake products. He has a filling station. When he sells you 20 liters, you are getting only 18 liters. He has collected the other 2 liters carefully so as to line his own pocket. Then when they say, we want to build a new cathedral, only me will pay for the roof. You know what he's trying to do? He wants God to forgive him of stealing. Listen to me. It's only repentance and confession that brings forth forgiveness. Giving does not. So all those monies given so as to buy forgiveness, they went into a pit. God did not collect them. All those ones given so as to buy God's favor, God also does not collect. Even though we churches are happy. I am sure, I run a ministry. Being here for these few days is not free. You understand my point? I am sure some people have sent me us money because they are trying to pay for their sins. How will I know the difference? Now, bank, you put them. Bank did not ask, say, is this for forgiveness of sins? Or is it a seat for breakthrough? I'm sure. People have sowed seed into my life before, believing that God, in fact, thank you. Somebody say anointing. Some people say you want a man of God's anointing, you give him a seed. I know you have done it before. Please don't do it again. The only man who did it in the Bible, his name is Simon the Sorcerer. And Peter said to him, your money perish with you. So let's forget that one. If you want the anointing of a man of God, there's only one way to get it. One, in fact, you can't even get it. How can you get it if you don't have the same ministry? He said, what about Elijah? I got Elisha's son. Go and read it very well. God said to Elijah, you will anoint this man, and anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. God called Elisha to come and take over from Elijah before Elijah said, come. It was not his decision to just take over the anointing from Elijah. Oh, you never heard that before? It's in the scriptures like that. So you can't just use Ogboju to collect somebody's anointing. Another point you must know about Elijah's anointing and Elisha's anointing. They said this was the Elisha that used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. And some people say, let's go and serve the man of God so we can tap his anointing. Again, error. Because I, the Lord, I check the heart. This is your service. It has an ulterior motive. And just in case you did not know, it was not the pouring of the water on the hands of Elisha that transferred the anointing. It was that while the man was pouring water on the hands of Elisha, he had a constant close proximity with that man. So most of the words Elisha ever spoke, the first person to hear them was Elisha. Once Elijah is speaking, Elisha is hearing. The spirit is transmitted first and foremost by words. The words that I speak, they are spirit. That is, they carry a spiritual substance that impart life. Some people will stay far, far away. They'll be sending a man of God offering. They don't listen to him. They don't come to his church. They're expecting his anointing. I love it. The cash should just be making me richer. As for my anointing, forget it. The only way you can get, there are two kinds of anointing I carry, and every man of God, there are two. There is an anointing to minister, to be able to speak the word of God with fluency and impart his spirit. That is one. The anointing, that is an ability. But it's a second anointing, which is actually the spirit that is being released, which when it gets to somebody's life, it changes the person's life. For example, if I preach to you, you will become healed. If I preach to you, you will become rich. If I preach to you, you will live long. And I'm not joking about that. That second one only comes as you pay attention to what I'm saying. I don't have to lay hands on you. I don't have to. Just pay attention as I speak. That is the Elisha that is pouring water on the hands of Elijah. It is proximity. It's not this physical service. We must get these things clear. Christians must understand that everything they are getting in life is because Jesus paid for them. You cannot get Elijah's first, I told you there are two types of anointing. That first one, that the ability to prophesy, ability to minister, like Elijah did, you cannot get that one except you are called to replace Elijah. Otherwise, collect your anointing direct. The question is, who did Elijah collect his own anointing from? Did you hear that he was ministering to somebody else? The reason why Elisha had to take over from him was because the same work was continuing. If you read it, God at the point in time decided to replace Elijah. He said, this man will replace you. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So listen to me. Everything we get actually is because Jesus paid for them. And that is the emphasis I'm trying to lay. It is because Jesus paid for them. And when you are going to pray, always have it in mind that what I am going to get is because Jesus paid for it. My message to you this evening, like I said specifically, is this. You must know what Jesus paid for. Did you hear what I said? Many people are struggling for what Jesus has already paid for. You must know what it is that Jesus paid for. We read something just now. Did I finish reading it? Numbers chapter what? 21. I said, let me read it for you in the Amplified Bible. So everything that Jesus paid for, you must know them. And this is how they come into your life in results. It is because you do what I'm about to read here in the book of Numbers. How was a serpent treated in the wilderness? I'm going to read verse 9. And that's because of time. I have to hurry. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Please, I need to read that in the Amplified Bible so as to make it very clear. Verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked at the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. I need to read that again because this is power. Somebody say power. He said, Jesus, now I want to, because of our time, let's just get down to it quickly. If Jesus is lifted up and anybody believes in him, like they believed in the serpent, they will be healed. They will be saved. Their lives will be transformed. How is that going to happen? It is simple. Let's look at how the serpent was looked at. This is what it means to have faith in that serpent that was lifted up, the bronze serpent in the Old Testament. When they looked at the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. I need you to repeat it after me. Say, they looked at the serpent attentively. Say attentively.
Attentively.
Expectantly.
Expectantly.
With a steady
and absorbing
gaze. Let's go by it again. Say attentively.
Attentively.
Expectantly.
Expectantly.
Steady.
Steady.
Absorbing.
Absorbing.
I need to also take it one more time. Attentively.
Attentively.
Expectantly.
Expectantly.
Steadily.
Absorbingly.
He said, when they look at the serpent like that, they lived. Remember, Jesus is what? The Word of God. Everything that God promised in Christ Jesus, promised to do for mankind, was made effective in whom? In Christ Jesus. Now, this is what I want to tell you. God has released promises over your life. Say amen. God has released abundance over your life. Say amen.
Amen.
I said something earlier. If you do not know about it, you'll be struggling around. That is why you are trying to sow a seed for your future instead of just giving and being a generous giver. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. He never said he loves a cheerful investor. I always like to say. Most Christians are nothing these days but investors. They never give anything unless they are sure they will get something back. Man of God must come and promise heaven and earth before they agree to drop money. There is something I tell Christians, one time I have to ask, because it's okay to ask people to give. I've been in churches before and they say, look, we need to do this. Our brethren need to give. I say, brethren, we need to give. One day, I like to tell this story to let you know my attitude towards money. I'm the head of my alumni fellowship currently, the president. And we spend money. Each time we meet, we spend over 4 million naira for our conventions. All right? Because you come in, you check into your hotel room. We rent a very decent hotel. You come with your wife. We just give you a room. Anyway, you know what I mean? It's just for those of us who are there. So everything is free. So we spend a lot of money. We do spend a lot of money. In excess of 4 million naira each time we gather like that, all right? And nobody asks any question. Just walk in, you write your name, all right? If you come alone, you're a single person, man or woman, you may have to share a hotel room with other people. But if you're married, we don't even ask questions. We give you. Sometimes, if you have too many children, we give you two. And we are not asking questions. Just to show up. And I'm... Last time, we usually use what is currently the best hotel in Benin, all right, because of the grounds and everything. Pay a lot of money on daily basis for the hall. It's a 3 days meeting. So we incur a lot of expenses. And God is very kind. We always pay our expenses. So one day, anyway, something went wrong. I just saw money was not complete. So I asked my guys, because I don't handle money. I'm just the president, you know. So I asked my guys to handle money. What happened? They said, Brennan didn't finish. I said, what? Money was not complete? It was strange. It had not happened to us. It hadn't happened to us like that in years. So one day, I was talking to my guy who was in charge, one of the secretaries. What's going on? He said, he called me. He said, one brother just sent 100,000 naira. He told me the name of the brother. I said, he did. I took the phone, called another brother. I said, I heard your friend sent 100,000 naira. Call him. I'm wondering whether his head is correct. You will have thought, yeah, be happy. I said, no. I said, tell him. If people like him are giving 100,000 naira, that's how I'm having problems. So that one said, sister, can I confess? I said, which kind of confession? He said, me too, I also give 100,000 naira. I said, you did what? 100,000. He said, sorry, sir, I'm going to the bank. I said, yes, drop the phone. Also the bank. Go and put the balance. That is my attitude. I believe Christians should be generous. I told him simply, I said, if you and your friend are giving 100,000 naira, who will bring the balance? Because we all know what God has done for everybody. Are you getting my point? When it's preaching time, they give people like me a microphone. When it's giving time, we give you a microphone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we know who has which anointing. There's financial anointing. We know where it is. Some Christians want to sow seed to reach that level. Sometimes God didn't give you that anointing. Don't just bother yourself. Just be a good Christian. Be a generous giver. And let those who have the anointing have the anointing. Look, how will it be that me and Aliko Dangote are having a meeting right now on building a new refinery? Will you be here? Leave that to those who are doing business. Some of you here, God will lift you to that level in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah, God will lead you to that level. So that if you want to hold this kind of meeting, we'll just call you. You say, sir, how much will it be? I say, 1.5 million. You just say, okay, let me just make it 2 million so that we won't have to talk until the next meeting. I'll say, God bless you. Go and make more money. That is my attitude towards it. I believe Christians should be generous. Are you getting my point? However, there is nothing we are giving to God so that he may give back to us. A lot of people are struggling to give to God simply because they want him to give to them, not realizing that Jesus has already paid for everything he will ever give to them. Do you follow what I'm saying? So men are struggling. Look at what we read just now. What should they actually do? They should lift up their eyes and say, Jesus has paid for this. And focus on it. If they lose money, they still focus on it. Are you getting my point? If they are broke, they still focus on it. Why? Because I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I am not giving him money to get it. Jesus has already given him blood to get it. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Please, I pray Christians understand this. Because of ignorance, we are running after what Jesus has actually already done for us. Jesus has already paid. Do you get my point? He has already paid. For that reason, I am not struggling to pay. What is my struggle? In quote, believe. Paul said, labor to enter into the rest. Because those who have entered into the rest, they have ceased from their own works. How do they enter the rest? By faith. And Hebrews said, how can they believe except they pay attention to a preacher? And now I modified that scripture to make something clear. I'm laying my emphasis somewhere. How can they believe except they pay attention to preaching? They can't. Everything God wants to do for you in life is by faith. What is faith? I understand that Jesus already paid. I understand that Jesus already what? Paid. I say all the time, you don't have a disadvantage in life. How do I know you don't have a disadvantage in life? Because Jesus has already paid to remove every disadvantage. Listen, you can go anywhere in life. I keep on saying, many Nigerians still want to die to go to America. I thought that thing was old-fashioned. I didn't know people are still doing it. I don't need to go to America to prosper in my life. The only reason I will go to America is because I want to go to America. The last time I went to America, it was hurry, let's go back. You know why? I said, I can't miss two. How many Bible studies? There were two Bible studies I was not around. Because one, I went to Ghana. The other one went to the U.S. So I was on edge. Oh, yeah, we are going back to Enugu. We arranged it so that I will land Enugu by Friday. Why? I must preach on Saturday. Yes, it's a matter of fact. I am not a beggar. I'm blessed. Are you getting my point? I don't need to go to America before I will prosper. What brings forth prosperity is what? Faith. What is faith? I understand that Jesus paid. That is what I want you to understand. Faith means I understand that Jesus paid. Let me say one more time. Faith means what? I understand that Jesus paid. I am not trying. This is the problem of Christians. They don't know what Jesus did for them. And my challenge to you today is you must learn and begin to find out. Doctors will tell you about incurable diseases. Let me give you news again. In Christ Jesus, it does not exist. Let me say one more time. Doctors talk about what? Incurable diseases. I have news for you. In Christ Jesus, it does not exist. Whose report will you believe? He said, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I like the way Bishop David Oyedepo read that scripture. He said, anyone who believes his report, the arm of the Lord will be revealed in his life. I like a story Kenneth Hagin told once. He said that as you grow older, you start forgetting. Then one day he was reading his Bible. So he said he started preparing to forget. And let me say to you, it is what you are expecting in life that will come to you. Now, if you ever listen to that man, at the age of 85, he will be preaching. He will say this happened 60 years ago at 6 a.m. on the 16th of November. He said, remember, that was a Thursday. That's how he used to talk. He tells you it was a Thursday. If it becomes a joke, he said, I just feel like telling you so that you know that 16th of November was a Thursday as an example. That's how he used to give details. But how did he come to be? Because one day, he said he was reading his Bible. And he found out that when Lazarus, who was begging at the rich man's gate, died, and when he was in Abraham's bosom, and Lazarus and the rich man called to Abraham, Abraham said to him, son, remember. He said, these people are dead. And yet, Abraham said, remember. He said, it means therefore you don't remember with your natural brain, you remember with your inner man. So he said, forget it. I am not going to forget anything. And once he said that, till he died at almost the age of 90, his memory was this sharp. It was this sharp. It was to him according to his faith. Many people tell you that as you grow older, your blood pressure starts going up, your blood sugar starts going up, your back starts going down, you understand my point? And your brain starts shrinking. I said, I reject it. I rejected it years ago, I'm rejecting it today, and if you see me in 50 years' time, I'm still rejecting it. Are you getting my point? And the fact is that it will not happen to me like that. There's a particular set of teachings, please, I want to recommend again. If we don't have it out there, during the week, our office will be open. Make sure you get a copy. It's a series, 2 MP3 CDs, titled The Sayings of God. The sayings, that is the things that God has said. I went in and took them one by one. Listen to this. God has a word about your prosperity. He has it. I don't worry about money. And I did not worry about money when I did not have any. For a simple reason. Because one day I read from the scriptures, he said, behold, and this was the word of God, I sent prosperity to you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, the moment I read that scripture, I knew in my life I will never be poor. Whether I live in Nigeria, in Ghana, Botswana, Australia, Mexico, wherever it is in life, I will never be poor. God will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things, and I will abound to every good work. How do I know that? Because I know how to work hard? No. But because one day I read in the scriptures that God is going to command favor towards me, so I knew I will never be poor. Some people believe they are always chronically ill. And listen to me, everything you believe eventually comes to pass in your life. But let me just digress back to what I was talking before. A lot of people believe that witches are their problem. So the witches know. So the witches come and make a problem for them. There are Christians who still believe that every 2 a.m. you should wake up and be praying against evil spirits. You know, that thing is very ungodly. I know some of you practice it. I know in your church they teach it. But hear it from me, it's ungodly. To wake up every 2 a.m. to be chasing evil spirits is against the will of God. My scripture for that, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. There is nothing that God has not spoken about. That's what I'm talking about. If you don't know it, you'll be walking in blindness. You will keep on pointing fingers at people. You know, this is Nigeria today. Maybe I should tell this story and then I end. You know my full name. They call me Banky, his pet name. I got it from university. Pastor Banky is what my friends were calling me when we were on campus. So just talk with me till today. My name actually is Bankole Olushina. What does that tell you? I'm from somewhere after that River Niger. Not close by, maybe at least 200 kilometers after River Niger. When I was coming to Enugu, people said that, you know, you are not from the East. I said, so? Joseph was not from Egypt. And listen to this. I want you to listen to this carefully. This is an interesting story. I want to just tell this story to explain a point which will deliver everybody here. I work in a department in the university where we are 6 lecturer consultants there currently. Before, we're not that many. The number kept on increasing. When I came, I was the only person. But at the point in time, at least among the senior people, I think we were about 4 or 5 then, 3 of us were senior. Okay? So to head the department, listen to this story very carefully. Normally, it's a university, so it's rotatory. They change from one person to another, you understand? And because we're all on the same rank, it tends to just move evenly around. A particular year, now, of course, of these 3 persons, 2 of them are from the East, 2 of them are from Anambra State. Of course, I'm the one from Ondo State. And this is Nigeria. Now, listen to foolishness that human beings practice. Now, don't hear the foolishness until the end. As me, I'm Mr. C. Are you getting my point? Mr. A was head of department. 2 years his tenure ended. It went to Mr. B, right? 2 years his tenure ended. It should go to who? Mr. C. Except that 2 years his tenure ended, it went to Mr. A again. What is the normal Nigerian reaction? 2 of them are Igbo men. This one is a Yoruba man. What is normal Nigerian reaction? Tribalism. In fact, Mr. A came to me and said, this is wrong. No, it's Mr. B. He said, this is wrong. This is tribalism. Now, I want you to listen to this lesson so that you can apply it in your life. I said, me, it does not happen. That's all I said. He said, it's tribalism. I said, no. It cannot be tribalism. He said, why? People ask why. I said, it is simply because when I was coming to Enugu, I declared a word that God surrounds me with favor as with a shield. That Joseph was not an Egyptian. And yet he became prime minister in Egypt. I said, I have favor. The vice chancellor that will discriminate against me because I'm an Igbo man will never enter office. Because I'm not an Igbo man. He will never enter office. So the one that entered office, or the dean that entered office, could not have done it. They were not allowed by God to enter office to do that against me. It's a job, good enough, my secretary is here. It's a job I did not like. They don't pay you for it. You sweat for it. I am not power hungry. And even if I were, it's still not tribalism. Why? Because the grace of Christ in me makes it impossible for any nigger to discriminate against me on the basis of tribe. Listen, that is a word over my head. A nigger is just a black man. That is the word over my head. And I told you all Satan can do is tempt. Everybody that said it was tribalism, this is the funny part. No Yoruba man came to me to tell me it was tribalism. It's not funny. I use this thing to preach in a chapel openly because I see small boys doing medical student association fighting on who's from Enugu State and who's from Anambra State. If you are unbelievers, God forgive you. If you are a Christian, poverty is your portion. Suppose, God, are you cursing me? I'm not cursing you. Whatever God has joined together, God has already joined that kind of attitude to poverty. You must understand that as a believer, you are above a loan, you are not beneath. There are words you don't hear from my mouth. We the masses. Me, the masses. Look all over the world. The day you find somebody that looks like me, talks like me, and is blessed like me, let me know. How can I be masses? It is to you according to your faith. Listen, when I was coming to Enugu, that's everyone was in there. I said, now listen, everybody now believes Enugu is a sweet place. That is from where we came, all over the place. They now think that Enugu is a sweet place. And you see this development in Enugu. I'm going to say something, you're going to think I'm very cocky, but I will say it anyway. I brought it to town. Those who have listened to me long enough, we agree. Because when Enugu did not have taxes, I prophesied that this city is beautiful. When the roads were bumps all over the place, I said this is a good land. Therefore, the earth had to yield its increase for me. Listen, this land, I can never be poor. You know why? Because I came into this land and I prophesied good over it. In case you do not know, I have prophesied over whoever will be the next governor that if he will not mean well, he won't last there. I don't know who it is. Whether you are Guruburu or Baragbara, I have no idea. One thing I know for sure is that before this came, me and my people, we have prayed about it and we declare all the time that progress will come to Enugu in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Increase will come to Enugu in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I ask the Lord for it and I will receive it, that Enugu will build power plants in this city, in this estate, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That we will export power to neighboring states.
Amen.
From this, our Enugu. I have prayed that goodness and mercy will dwell in this land. For that reason, I say anybody who will not cooperate, God finish him. No matter how popular you are, there's one scripture I keep on reading. God lifts up one and brings out another. So no matter what your name is, I hear the sound all over the place, buru-buru, 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 everywhere. I said, whoever knows Mr. Buru-buru, go and tell him. That Pastor Banky has said, you must mean well for this state and pursue it with aggression. Otherwise, now buru-buru, you will sleep like this. And you will fall. And that shall be the end of Guruguru. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Listen, all I have said is that is what we have prayed concerning this state. That nobody will sit on that governor's seat that does not want good for the land. Yeah. So you can understand when people are saying they are doing discrimination. It doesn't move my body. In fact, if you see a man who wants to die, say, how do I come? He said, go and say, tell him to go and meet Pastor Banky. Point to him, say, you are a stranger in this land. I will finish you. That's it, he's dead. I will laugh. Once I laugh, as an echo of God's laughter. He said, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. You know what I'm saying, all of these things? This is what the word of God says about believers. But because of ignorance, they will go. Did they give you the job? No. Why? You know I'm not from Anambra. These are Anambra people. Child of God. The angels should slap you on God's behalf. For talking nonsense. You shouldn't say such. You apply for a job, you don't give you. They don't give you. You say, it is because I am not from their state. It is ignorance. A child of God has been blessed beyond that level. It must never happen that you make such statements. But most people, they don't know. And I'm challenging you today, go and find out what he has said about you. There are still women till today, they are looking for husband to marry to drag them out of poverty. You want to marry a man to drag you out of poverty? That is passport to further poverty. If you want to prosper in life, read the Bible. Do like Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. Prosperity comes from above, not from the husband. Are you getting my point? Everybody carries a spiritual substance.
Yes, sir.
If you are blessed inside you, marry a poor man for your sake, he must become rich.
Yes, sir.
I always tell young ladies, you know, Christmas is coming now. Some joker will arrive from America. And a woman will marry a joker just because he came from America. Any man you will not marry in Nigeria, please, let him come from the moon. That's his personal problem. Don't marry him. Because when you get to America, you will feel sad. After 1 year, you will soon get used to the smooth roads. And the constant power which you have to pay for is not free. The amount of money you used to pay for power in America, if you use it in Nigeria, look, which one way or the other, it will be constant in your house. Even if it's Sumek that will bring it for you. It will be constant. That's when you will now wake up to reality. What substance does my husband have inside him? Any man you will not marry in Nigeria, don't marry him because he came from America. For the simple reason that as a child of God, you have a blessedness inside you, which is far beyond somebody's country of residence. This is what the Bible says about you. Many men will not settle down and, you know, chart a good course for their life. They are waiting for a visa. If you go to America as a beggar, you will remain a beggar. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It's a country where people queue up in the morning looking for free food also. The first day I saw it, I thought they were doing a function. Maybe I come for a seminar. My brother-in-law was driving me to work one morning in Houston. I said, Tega, what are they doing here? Because the previous day, I saw the people. Next day, we were going again. I saw the people. It was my second day there. I said, what are they doing? He looked at me like, where did you come from? You know, like, don't you know what's going on? I said, no. He said, it's a homeless shelter. They are giving them free food. Ah, Nike long like this. The guy said, he said, they don't have homes. That this is where it was a Baptist mission. They come to give them free breakfast. So you see, guys, queue up. See the queue as a long. You go to junction. As you see them for this our junction here, now so they did there too. This cleaning of glass, they learned it from America, not from Nigeria. Yes. Oh, it's an American. They come and clean your glass. Some of them carry very funny signs. They say, I have burger. I just need milk. That's the sign. Because sometimes people buy fast food and they are eating on the way. You understand? So you get there, you wind down, just hand the guy the milk you did not finish. He will thank you. Somebody has already given him a half-eaten burger. He will eat it and drink the milk. Why? He's homeless. He doesn't have money. The height of it for me, my first visit to the U.S., was when I was alone. My brother-in-law traveled that time. I was driving myself, going back home from work. And I closed my eye, blinked, whether I was okay. Because I saw a mad woman stark naked, carrying two bags, like Ghana must go, they walk off the road. Yeah, you know I wouldn't lie to you on a day like this. No, you know, we have this idea, so the council would have done something like, the woman was walking on the road laughing. On the road in Houston, Texas, United States, I thought I was back home from. I said, no, who transported me back to Nigeria? Archbishop Benson Dawosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Prosperity is inside the word of God. That's what I'm trying to say. How do you tap into it? He said, look at it attentively, expectantly, with an absorbing, with a what? Steady and absorbing gaze. That is, even though this year passes, I don't make that breakthrough, I still wake up in January and say, this is the word of God. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For my sake, even though he was rich, he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I say that every day. He said, but you don't have a job yet. He said, don't worry. Tomorrow morning, I start again. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. If you do that steadily, do you understand my point? Attentively, expectantly, absorbed in it, one day life will have no choice but to break through upon you. The skill you have will suddenly be required. The word of God is alive. It will lead you. Say, look, my guy, you know why I can't do anything for you now? You have nothing you are blessing people with. Quickly, go and learn this thing. As you are declaring it, God gives you speed of learning. You come out with a skill. 5 years down the line, you look back and tell people, I'm going to the U.S. You know, you are buying dollar to carry to spend in America. You that today, you were poor. Why? Because you were looking at the word of God absorbingly. The Jesus that is lifted is the word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say it again. The Jesus that is lifted is what? The word of God. Please be absorbed with the word of God. I need to say this. God is not going to prosper you because you go to church a lot.
Christians need to hear it. They've joined every kind of worker group in church because they think God, that one will make God prosper them by force, by fire. God will not prosper you just because you go to church. We read it during the ministers' meeting earlier in the day. Moses, in the book of Exodus chapter 4, he was going to work for God, yet God was going to kill him with poverty. Now, it was not poverty there, but you understand my point? But God was going to kill him. The fact that you go to church regularly does not guarantee that you prosper. It does not. What guarantees prosperity is faith. That you hold on to the word of God by faith. No matter the security around your house, it does not guarantee anything. I hope you get my point. If you want security in your house, read the scriptures and declare it over your compound every day. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. He gives his angels charge over me. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. This is where deliverance is for Christians. This is what takes your life away from one spot to another. It is the words of faith that you utter. Let me say this one and I round up. If you like, give from now till tomorrow. If that giving is because you think God will look at the money and multiply it for you, just wait. Poverty is waiting around the corner. Anytime you go to pray, yes, I need to just explain this. Good. Father, thank you. How can I come and pray to your people? And I won't say this one. It's not possible now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just give me 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Let me say this, and we're out of here. Anytime you go to pray, never ever, please tell your neighbor, never.
Never,
never.
Never, never.
Never, never, never.
Never, never, never.
Never, never, never.
Never, never, never,
never. Never, never,
never.
All right. Move to another person. Tell the person, never.
Never,
never.
Never, never,
never.
Never, never, never.
Never, never, never.
Never, never, never.
All right. Look for somebody behind you. Tell the person, never.
Never.
Never,
never.
Never, never,
never.
Never, never, never,
never.
Now look to me like this now. Just focus on me. Now I want to tell you, never. Never, never. Never, never, never. Never, 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 never. Ever, ever, never. Don't you ever try to mistakenly do this one. Even if you were to smoke. After cigarettes, you use wee-wee. When you finish with wee-wee, you go to cocaine. While you are doing that, you got drunk on alcohol. Then you fell asleep. And inside that, your drunken drug sleep, you began to dream. Even inside there, never do this. Never go to pray and tell God what you have done for him so that he might do back for you. If you like, give your head as offering. Don't say, God, this headless body has come. And God say, where goest thy head? From giving offering to and fro. Don't you ever say, God, I gave my head to you. You must give me something back. Let me say it again, please. You know why I'm saying this? Because you have heard the opposite so much. And I'm saying to you boldly, it is a lie. The opposite is a lie. When people say, go to God and say to him, this is what I have done for you. Therefore, you will do back for me. That does only one thing for you. It exposes you to the devil. There is nothing your gifts to God can make him owe you more than what he has already given to you in Christ Jesus. There is nothing you can give to God that can sway him more than what the death of Jesus Christ on the cross has swayed him concerning. I hope you are getting my point. There is nothing you can demand from him and expect he will get more than what confidence in the sacrifice of Jesus can give to you. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
Christians are taught wrongly. They say you cannot expect anything from God until you have given to him. That thing is a fat lie. The greatest thing he ever did for you was the gift of the Son, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to ask you a question. What did you do to deserve it? And Paul said simply, in the book of Romans chapter 8, he said, God will simply, you know, add every other thing to you. When you want to pray, there's only one premise upon which you make your request. And that premise is called what? The name of Jesus. It's a premise of mercy. Have mercy upon me. The name of Jesus is the mercy of God. God's mercy has a name. And that name is Jesus. Anytime you go to pray, it means no matter what bad you have done, if you say, in Jesus' name I come, what you are saying is, God, have mercy upon me. At the same time, you are saying, no matter what good I think I have done, in Jesus' name, don't worry about it. Just use what Jesus has done and give to me. And listen to me, you will get your miracle faster. The reason why your miracle has been delayed is because you are still trying to build up in your offerings. Your offerings are unnecessary when it comes to receiving from God. Your offerings are only a sign of what? Your faith. For example, a lot of people who can't give, God can't give to them for one simple reason. One simple reason. Because they don't have faith. They think that my money is what will take care of me. Let me share this testimony so I can use it to round up. Just to explain this particular point I made about giving and money. When I was going to get married that time, for those of you who have married, you know it can be expensive. And for certain reasons, I had a few issues because of cultural differences. And let me just go into detail. But I needed a lot of money. I needed a lot of money. So every little money I had, if I were going on the road and you dash me 200 naira those days, I kept it towards what? The wedding. Everything was towards the wedding. So one day I sat down. I was sharing with this my wife that we're not married then. We're planning the wedding. We're planning the wedding. One day I was just sharing the word of God with her. And I read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, yes, verse 17. And Paul said, instruct those who are rich in this world not to be conceited or trust in the uncertainty of riches. He said, instruct them to do good. He said, let them put their faith in God. He said, instruct them to do good, to be quick to share, to be generous. He said all of those things. And as I was teaching her, I realized that the Holy Spirit was teaching me. I realized that all I'd been thinking about was what? My wedding. And my faith was in as much money as I could gather. As not as finished saying it, I say, my God, I have been sinning against God. So next day, you know what I did with the money? The money I was gathering, I took a part of it. I went to church. My pastor that time, I had not given him anything in a long time. I just greeted him. Well done, sir. I gave him an envelope. So you have been a blessing. He didn't know that I was confessing my sins to, do you understand? Then one of my friends was wedding the week before. So I said, oh boy, I know you are spending money. So I took money and gave to him. He would have thought that, man, this guy hit one jackpot. But actually, David said, I rejoice at thy word. Like him who finds great treasure. You understand my point? Great spoil. I gave the young man money. I spent money around like that. Was I trying to sow a seed? No. I was just trying to show that my faith cannot be in this money. And God gave me something that was more than money. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he gave me a word of wisdom. That word of wisdom solved all my problems. Before that time, I was holding on to money. Are you getting my point? That is the reason why God may find it hard to bless somebody who is grabby. But it is not as if we give God money so he can give us back. When we want from God, we ask in the name of Jesus. Generosity is the life of a Christian. Be generous to your neighbor also. Yes, go to church. Be generous. Give to a ministry. It's good. You attend a church. The pastor sweats over you every day. Oh boy, buy him a handkerchief to wipe that sweat. Buy him cold water after service. It's the will of God. But it's not because of what you are going to get. It is because you're a good Christian. That is what good Christians do. I'm not sowing any seed into the lives of my children. I'm just trying my best to be a good father. So when my children, when their trousers jump up, we got to replace them. I don't say to them, as I'm giving this one to you, you will pay me back when you don't begin work. Nobody says that. I just do what I can because I am what? A father. As a Christian, you do what you can because you are a child of God. But whenever you want to ask him for anything, what do? You ask in the name of Jesus. Listen, what's the most important thing I've said today? Please, you must know what Jesus died for you.
You must know the promises that God has uttered concerning your life. Don't let anybody lie to you that somebody is holding you back. The word of God has already set you free. Are you getting my point? You must know that freedom. It's only when you know it that you know what to take. God will give the people of Israel the map of the land he's given them so that they will not go into the land that's not their own. So that they will know the land to claim. In the same manner, you must know what God has said about you. And the only way you will know is when you go after knowledge. Going to church doesn't save your life. It's you must go and learn. Please, I'm begging you, spend your time reading books. Any book that says the witches against my, you know, there are witches, 75 prayers against the Ogbanje spirit. Have you seen them?
Yes.
Please, if you have, put it inside the dustbin. That's where it belongs. I like it when the whole place gets quiet like this. Oh, I have hit something. 365 prayers against witchcraft spirit. Please, do you have a copy? Put it in the dustbin. That's where it belongs. You cannot be worshipping Satan every morning, afternoon, and night, claiming you are praying against him. Take a word, a book that talks about what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Please, go and listen to real men of God that teach you the word of God, the word of freedom. That is what you need in this your life. I hope you've gotten my point. So let's rise to our feet and begin to give the Lord thanks. Oh, just start giving thanks. That's very important. Say, Lord, thank you, thank you. Let's say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, say, Lord, I thank you because I've been set free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been set free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been set free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been set free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been set free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have been set free. Oh, say, because I know my prosperity is not dependent on my background and it cannot be hindered by it. Lord, I thank you because you have set abundant prosperity in front of me. Say, Lord, I thank you because no curse is in my life. I have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Say, Lord, I thank you that I have been set free. Say, Lord, I thank you that I have been set free. I am above the devil. I am above the works of the enemy. There is nothing in the village that's holding me back. Nothing buried can work against me. I don't care about where my placenta is. It makes no difference. It has decayed long ago. In Christ Jesus, I have been set free. Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. Say, Lord, my life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have delivered me from the power of the enemy. I don't need 200 prayers against witchcraft spirits. I have been free. I am walking above them. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Thank you for the righteousness of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the righteousness of faith. Say, Lord, thank you for the righteousness of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the righteousness of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the righteousness of faith. Thank you for the righteousness of faith. Say, Lord, I know my future is bright. I know my future is beautiful. I know my future is bright. I know my future is beautiful. Say, Lord, I thank you. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you. Because you have healed all our diseases.
Amen.
I declare to you standing in front of me this evening, on my left and my right, that there is no sickness that is incurable.
Yes.
Therefore, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus died to make every sickness curable and to bring the cure for that ailment. Whether it's a sickness of the mind or the sickness of the body. Even the sickness of the spirit, which is sin, Jesus brought a cure for everything. If you are there, you have given your life to Christ, say amen.
Amen.
In case you haven't, it doesn't take 10 seconds. As I'm talking like this, just be saying amen to the prayer that Jesus, I've given my life to you right now. And that's already automatically your portion. Now, if you are giving your life to Christ, hear ye the word of the Lord. You also have been healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That migraine is not your birthright. Don't give this excuse to Satan that, you know, I always have migraine. There is what I call excuses for Satan. As you accept it, he stays with you. If it comes, say, you are not mine. Jesus has already died to free me from it. Therefore, you can't stay here.
To such a person this evening, I say to you, receive your healing in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, anybody can be broke. There was a time Jesus was broke. I know you think it's strange, but actually it happened. Jesus was not a showman. He wouldn't tell somebody to go and fish for money if there was money in his pocket. So the fact that you are broke is not a sign that you are cursed. There was a time Paul wanted to travel. He said we were hindered. The means to travel was not available. So he said, Timothy, bring paper, write them a letter. He said, I've learned to abound, I've learned to abase. The fact that you are broke today is not a sign that you are cursed. It's just a season of life that you are passing through. Now, this is the word of God for you tonight. You are coming out of it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The reason why getting a job has been difficult for you is because you have put an obstruction in front of yourself. I don't know. Nobody will employ me. You know, they are all like this. You start giving excuses. Tonight, you have dropped those excuses.
Amen.
Now, when you go out with the spirit of the victor.
Amen.
And before this year comes to an end, your own door will open to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some women are jogging every day because the reason why I'm normal is because I'm too fat. Once you give an excuse to Satan, your miracle is obstructed. Listen to me. Those physical things are not the reasons why breakthrough is not coming to you. Listen to it again. God will surround you with favor as with a shield in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The doors that were closed for you before, they will be open now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anything you give excuses for will stay with you. Sometimes people say that the reason why I'm having this problem is because I sinned in the past. So this must be the consequence of my sin. You are insulting Jesus like that. You are saying to him, you don't know how to forgive. You are saying to him, you died for nothing. You are saying to him, this blood is dilute. It was anemic when it was shed. That's what you are saying to him. No matter what your sins of the past may be, listen, if indeed you have believed, hear ye the word of the Lord. Those sins cannot prevent you from receiving your own blessing from God now.
Yes, sir.
Because they have been forgiven.
Amen.
If you keep on giving those excuses, those things will stay with you. Because Satan thrives where you give him excuses. Everything you give excuses for will not live your life. So I say to you again tonight, drop those excuses. Now, let me just give you 10 seconds. Begin to drop. Everybody, you are praying. Begin to drop those excuses. Say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce this excuse I've been given. This is why I've not been getting a job. I am not smart. This is why I've not been getting a job. My degree is not good. This is why I've not been getting a job. All those things, if people didn't help me, all those excuses, say, I renounce them in the name of Jesus. You are saying, this is why I've not been able to do this, because I did this one in the past. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I receive the washing. I receive the washing. I receive the washing by the blood. I am cleansed. Declare, I am cleansed. Declare, say, I am cleansed. I am cleansed. I have been cleansed. Satan, no, you can't hold me down again. I have been cleansed in the name of Jesus. I have been cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus. I have been cleansed. Now that you have renounced those excuses, hear the word of the Lord again. Breakthrough is coming to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The door that was closed before is opened for you now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, the word of God has power as it's entering into you without you doing anything. There was a time Paul preached. He looked at the man, he saw he had faith to be healed. He just said to the man, get up and receive your healing. I say to you again, get up and receive your breakthrough.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Healing is your portion.
Amen.
Doctors say that your blood sugar is not working very well. You know, it looks like you might be diabetic. Listen, two things. One, in the name of Jesus, I curse that diabetes in your life and I command it to disappear in Jesus' name. And then hear this. This is the second thing. Jesus said, I should tell you, that doctor does not know what he's saying. Because the blood of Jesus has completely freed you from the bondage of diabetes.
Amen.
Your parents had cancer, both of them. It will not come upon you.
Amen.
Because there is a spirit of life that's working in you right now.
Amen.
It is the spirit of Christ and it is working in you right now.
Amen.
It is the spirit of freedom is working in you right now.
Amen.
It is the spirit of healing is working in you right now.
Amen.
The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in your mortal body right now.
Amen.
Every gene of cancer is broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every curse of cancer has been destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, freedom is your portion.
Amen.
in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Everybody just say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
I thank you for your word.
Thank you.
I thank you for freedom.
Thank you for freedom.
In the name of Jesus Christ. If you are blessed this weekend, shout a very nice amen for me.
Amen.
All right. That blessing is yours permanently in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I commend you to God, Paul said, and to the word of his grace. Don't let it depart away from you. That's the word that will deliver to your own inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Open your, for those who do not know it offhand, just open. First of all, let me thank you again for coming. Tell your neighbor you are very wise. You came to hear the word of God. And that wisdom will pay off for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. This Christmas will be blessed for you in the name of Jesus. As you go out and come in this Christmas, no evil will befall you in the name of Jesus. Let me say it again. No evil will befall you in the name of Jesus Christ. Favor will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will show many people favor in the name of Jesus. Listen, let me just say this to you. Don't be afraid to go to the village. Whether you have bought the car or not, go. If they say which day they go. Are you getting my point? Go with the confidence of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about anything. Just go and be happy. And I prophesy over 2015 for you that greater fruitfulness will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Greater fruitfulness will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. 2015 will show you greater blessings and miracles than you have ever seen in your life in the name of Jesus. And it's going to start from the beginning, from the end of this year in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare December 2014 blessed for you in Jesus' name. And that blessing continues in the greater measure into 2015. 2015 is also your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time, personalize it. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Bless your neighbor with it. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Another neighbor with it. See, as you are going away, just be blessing somebody with it. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell somebody this is your season of fruitfulness. This is your season of fruitfulness. This is your season of fruitfulness.